whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, Dent, what do you got?
All right, we're going to start with some breaking news. In the NFL, the Tennessee Titans earlier this hour firing Rand Carthen as their general manager, but they're keeping Callahan as the head coach. But Carthen is out. I think he had like 4 years left on his contract. The Titans have the number one overall pick in this upcoming year's draft.
You know, a bit of a sought-after guy, but I think this is what happens when you miss on the QB. They took Levis in 23, right? Would that have been his first draft in Tennessee? So with the 49ers, with Adam Peters, what was his first year in Tennessee?
He was hired in Tennessee in 2024.
Oh, okay. So he didn't draft
Levis. No, sorry. He was in 2023, and then he got a new title. So he was general manager in 2023. He became the executive vice president and general manager in 2024, and now he does not have a job.
Okay, so he did draft Levis.
He did draft Levis, yes.
Yeah. You know, you are, as a coach and a general manager, you are always vulnerable when you don't have a quarterback, and the quarterbacks that you're trying out, that you select, or you trade for, or you sign in free agency, you are at their... you're on your knees in front of them begging them to be the right call, because Levis has been terrible. He can't play. Now, I say that, and maybe in 5 years when he's 30 years old, we'll be like, oh my God, Will Levis. I mean, he resurrected his career. He got into a system that worked better for him or whatever. I mean, we've seen that, you know, before this year, obviously, last year, obviously, Geno Smith and Sam Darnold being the more recent examples of that. Baker Mayfield being an example of that. But I don't know, man, Levis really looks like just a big, strong, strapping athlete with a big arm that just doesn't see it ever. And because of it, they have stunk. And the guy that was keeping that team and that franchise without a quarterback over and over again, competitive, was Vrabel. Vrabel's going to get a gig, right?
Yes, and it was, if I remember correctly, Rand Carthen and Mike Vrabel, not fans of one another. Vrabel wanted more power. Carthen said, I have the power. Now both of them are gone. But I do think there's an interesting twist here, Kevin, because as you mentioned, Vrabel going to be very sought after. Ben Johnson, for the third year in a row, going to be very sought after. There's been rumors that whenever he takes a job, he wants to bring Lance Newmark with him. Lance Newmark obviously works
Ben here. Johnson does, you're saying. Not
yes,
Vrabel.
Ben Johnson
yes.
does.
Yeah.
Is there a potential that if Lance Newmark leaves, that Rand Carthen then takes his position here?
Maybe.
Because he and Adam Peters have a connection.
Sure. By the way, they work together. We don't know how they feel about each other. We just know that Rand Carthen was in San Francisco for a few years at the same time that Adam Peters was. You know, there's always that assumption, oh, there's a tie there. They work together. They'll hire him. Well, maybe they work together, and because of that, Adam Peters doesn't feel great about hiring him based on really knowing him. You never know. But it's possible, sure.
But didn't it feel like last year it was one of the reasons why Vrabel was never a contender here is because of the issues that he had with Rand Carthen? I thought that was what
that,
we were
that was definitely
on.
Part. You're right. That was definitely part of the conversation.
So using that logic, it would be fair to think they're at least friendly because you're not going to not hire
If we're right about that.
If we're right
was
about
just,
that.
That was a connecting the dots situation. We don't know that the dots should have been connected. You know, I mean... No one reported that Adam Peters wasn't interested in Vrabel because of his relationship with Rand Carthen. We just all, you know, connected the dots and said they were together in San Francisco. They're not interested in Vrabel. It must be because Rand Carthen told Adam Peters, don't be interested in Vrabel.
Right. Anyway, so he's on the open market. I do have some other NFL stuff, but I want to give you...
It's nice not to be... in coaching search mode or GM searching mode. I mean, we weren't ever in GM searching mode when Snyder was the owner, but it's nice not to be, you know, in the carousel, you know, on the carousel, I guess, not in the carousel, on the carousel. We've taken that ride many times.
It's nice not to be the one where people are doing eyeball emojis on Twitter because they can't believe you fired such and such, or they can't believe you let go of such and such.
Yeah.
Because we've been there multiple times.
What do we have? Just real quickly, what do we have? We have Jacksonville. We have Tennessee. No, we don't have Tennessee.
No,
we have Tennessee with the GM.
Yeah, Tennessee GM. You have the Jets. You have the Bears.
Jets, Bears.
You have the Patriots.
Saints.
Saints.
Patriots.
That's five. A lot of people thought Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas. Maybe that happens this week, but we've heard nothing there. A lot of people kind of thought Tennessee. If you're going to fire the GM, you might as well fire the coach.
Yeah,
that
hasn't happened. Tough to fire the coach after 1 year, but we've seen it happen. We just saw it happen in New England.
We thought the Giants, that's not happening. And we thought the Cowboys, which has not been made official, though his contract, Mike McCarthy's, does, ends tomorrow. But then he enters an exclusive negotiating period with the Dallas Cowboys.
Jerry, so there are two things. Do you have, just out of curiosity, the John Mara soundbite about the, you know, we better perform next year? I'm paraphrasing, but basically it was kind of this threat about, you know, keeping Dable and Shane, and it better happen. I mean, they tanked down the stretch. Okay, they dumped the quarterback. You have to, as an owner in that particular situation, when you've actually made a controversial decision to stay the course with a lot of fans, you can't then side with the fans after you've made the decision.
I do have that clip, by the way. It's short, but this is Mara talking to people, the media, on the practice field yesterday.
How long will it take to improve the product, John?
It better not take too long, Bruce, because I've just about run out of patience.
You just made the decision to stay the course. Show some confidence in it publicly. I mean, he's not his father. That is for sure. I mean, look at the coaches they've had in recent years. Where's the list here? I want to pull it up because it's like five coaches in the last 7 or 8 years, right? Dable, Judge, Shermer, Spagnuolo, McAdoo. Five coaches since Coughlin left in 2015. Five. In 9 years.
I totally forgot Steve Spagnuolo was the coach there.
I heard that on something coming in this morning, and I was like, you can't, as the owner of the football team, make a decision which was surprising to everybody, bringing it all back. You have to say publicly, I'm bringing it all back because I believe in Joe Shane. I believe in Brian Dable. You know, we made some big decisions this year to move on from the quarterback. I trust in their decisions, and I think we're heading in the right direction. I mean, he basically sided up with the fans saying, why did this owner, me, do this? It better work. And meantime, Jerry basically told people that he's fine with McCarthy. If McCarthy doesn't want to be here, we don't want people who don't want to be here. Think about that one. He hasn't made it clear to McCarthy that he wants McCarthy. So why wouldn't McCarthy, as a free agent here shortly, when the contract officially runs out, be looking for a gig if Jerry hasn't signed him to an extension? I'll tell you what, our division, we got two incredibly dysfunctional franchises in our division, and neither one of them is our franchise anymore.
That's great.
The Cowboys and the Giants right now are a mess. And for years, 25 of them, 24 of them anyway, Washington, bottom cellar dweller, dysfunction, beyond any organization in the league, certainly in our division. And now we're not one of them, and there are two of them in the division. Not every division has two teams that have dysfunctional organizations. We're in a division where we've got two franchises that are from the top down dysfunctional right now. It's great. Creates opportunities. Now, the Giants could strike it rich on the quarterback. They could get lucky, get the right one, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and turn it around, because that's what it takes. You know, a great quarterback masks all else. And they're going to have an opportunity to draft one, and maybe they get it right. But that John Mara quote, man, you, publicly, when you make that call, you got to say, it's because I believe in these two men. I know it doesn't look great, you know, but I like them. I believe in them. I think that they've made some good decisions here, and I think we're going to... I think we're in position with draft and otherwise to make, you know, a big turnaround. I wouldn't have kept these gentlemen on if I didn't, if I wasn't totally confident that we're about to turn this around. And instead, he became a fan. Can't do that as an owner. What else?
I want to give you before, there's some other NFL stuff, but I want to give you an opportunity. We didn't get to talk about this yesterday because it was a Monday. We focus on football, but your Terps had a tough one against Oregon, 83-79 on Sunday. They're back in action against UCLA later this week. But what'd you think about the Terps and their loss against Oregon?
So I'm going to tell you, I mean, I think maybe it's the first game I haven't seen in live in a couple of years. I mean, we had football going on. I came in to do a post-game podcast after the game, so I did not watch the game. But it's a tough weekend for Maryland. I know that Washington nearly knocked off Illinois in their next game, but the Terps haven't beaten anybody, you know, legitimately good. Villanova's not that good. Syracuse isn't good. Ohio State's not great. The best teams they've played, Purdue and Marquette and Oregon, they've lost all of those games, and all of those games were close games, so they didn't win any. You know, they haven't won some close games. I know that that's bothering fans. Look, Oregon's a top 10 team. They had been blown out by Illinois on Friday night, and the Terps had a lead. You know, they had a halftime lead. They had a lead in the second half. They ended up losing by four. I can't tell you specifics about the game because, you know, these games that are played on NFL Sundays for, you know, guys like me who are fans of a college basketball team, it hurts, you know, the scheduling on some of these. It's all television. You know, as a school, you're not going to turn down the TV money. It was on Peacock on Sunday. They play UCLA on Friday night at home. They are not going to be ranked, clearly, after being ranked last week in the coaches' poll. But the Washington loss was painful to watch. They really... were off and didn't rebound well, didn't shoot well. I know that they played better against Oregon, but, you know, they got to win some close games, man. Got to win some close games because you're going to be in a lot of them. And last year, you know, there were some really close games that they had a chance to win and didn't. I remember there was, you know, back-to-back games against Rutgers and Ohio State last year. I mean, both winnable games. Couldn't pull either one of them out. Now, they did not have the team last year. They have this year. But, yeah, big game against UCLA on Friday night. UCLA ranked, and they're in the top 20, right? Top 25?
Top 22.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they've got a stretch of like three home games in their next four. So hopefully they can get right. But, yeah, not a good first West Coast conference trip for the Terps. A loss to Washington and a loss to Oregon. All right, what else?
All right, back to the NFL. I don't know if you saw this story, but I saw it, and it is kind of sad. Now, it might, in a sense, potentially benefit the Commanders if they need safety help, but 49er safety Chavarius Ward is unlikely to return to San Francisco. It's nothing to do in terms of, like, bad blood with the organization. It's a more traumatic experience. He lost his one-year-old daughter, and he shared after the season ended that he is having issues literally every time he enters the state of California. His girl has moved out because of the trauma related to the passing of their daughter. It's one of the sadder things that I think I've seen. It's like a five-minute video, and your heart is just breaking the entire time. That's a tough thing to deal with, and I'm proud of him for speaking out, but I saw this, Kevin, and I was like, this is one of the few times I think we've ever seen something like this in the NFL about a guy just not being able to handle being in the state.
So because he lost his one-year-old, you said?
Yeah, one-year-old. He has PTSD.
In the state of California, they just don't want to be in the state of California because it's just a reminder.
It's just a constant reminder of loss.
Mm-hmm. That's awful.
It's terrible. I mean, now, he has a connection with Adam Peters. He's a good player. I mean, he's been on...
He
was on a lot of their really good defenses.
Right.
He's a really good player, but you just read that and your heart breaks for him.
Remember, he was with Kansas City for a couple of years and played well.
Yeah, he had a lot of jewelry from some of these teams.
How many Super Bowl... What, does he have two Super Bowl rings with the Chiefs?
I'm looking up his Super Bowl wins now. He has at least, he has one. He has one. He was a second team All-Pro, though, last year in 2023.
Yeah, he's a good player. That's sad. I don't know what his contract situation is. When you get down to, okay, we want to do the right thing by the player if the 49ers choose to do that.
His contract, it was 3 years in 2022, so this was the final year of the deal.
Okay, so, well, is he a free agent?
I don't know if he's restricted or unrestricted, but yeah, he should be a free agent.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Sorry. All right, other football news. Rex Ryan says he is 100% the best option for the Jets head coaching position. He did interview. We've seen a lot of names in that Jets interview process. Ron Rivera was one of them, but it seems like Sexy Rexy wants to head back to New York.
Yeah, I can't imagine Rex Ryan's going to get a job at this point. I mean... I'll give him credit. You and I were talking about this Joy Taylor thing. You can bring it up here in the news.
I was going to.
If you want to. I don't watch, and I can't tell you that I've ever watched the Fox Sports Network shows, which is when I told you I had no idea who that person was. But anyway, Rex is a big part of the ESPN, shows, revolving chairs. And I'll tell you, man, he gets after people in the league. He is not afraid to totally rip somebody a new one. I saw and read on X this morning, apparently he just ripped Brian Flores he basically called him an overrated coach. And, man, he has had some really good defensive days in Minnesota as their D coordinator. I can't see Rex getting a gig, right? What is Rex's? I want to look this up because Rex, I mean, two AFC title games, right?
Yeah, with Mark the Jets. Sanchez.
Huh?
With Mark Sanchez. Yeah,
with Mark Sanchez at quarterback, what is his? He's got to have an overall winning record as a head coach. Two AFC championship visits. Overall, as a head coach, actually, he's got a losing record. It was his first 2 years, and man, they were good defensively, right? They got to the AFC title game and lost to the Colts. I think that was the year that they went to New England and won.
Yes, it was.
Did they go to New England twice and win?
They might have done it twice. That was when Darrell Revis was there. It was Revo Island.
Yeah, and they lost to the Steelers in the AFC title game as well, 2009, 2010. And then after that, he never had a winning season as a head coach again. He had 3-8-8 seasons, including two in New York and one in Buffalo.
They beat the Patriots in 2010. They did not play them in the playoffs in 2009.
In 2009, hold on, don't tell me. Who did they beat in 2009 to get to the AFC title game? They weren't the division winner. They were a wild card winner.
Right,
because the Patriots had that run of winning the division. Is that the year? Did they beat the Bengals that year?
They beat the Chargers, maybe? Yeah, the Bengals and Chargers. You are correct.
Bengals and Chargers.
Yeah, your boy Philip Rivers.
Yeah, with Rivers.
Get past him.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, they beat the Chargers. Mark Sanchez went 12 of 23 for 100 yards and a touchdown and a pick.
Yeah, I mean, they just lived off of defense. I don't know if you can do that anymore. Can you win three straight playoff games to get to a Super Bowl with just defense in today's NFL?
Well, we saw the 49ers do it a couple years ago, and they
kind of saw the
G.
Chiefs do it last year.
Yeah, the Chiefs did
actually.
It too. I mean, Jimmy G and Mahomes are very different, obviously. So is Sanchez, but I would say the 49ers a couple years ago when they did that with defense is very comparable to what the Jets did when they had Mark Sanchez. I just don't know that you can do that consistently. You get like one good year, and then the 49ers were like, we need a better quarterback because Jimmy G missed a wide open Emmanuel Sanders for a go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and look, I said the Chiefs because the strength of the Chiefs team last year and this year is their defense, but obviously they have the guy that can make all of the plays when the game is on the line, and that's what happened in Buffalo and in Baltimore last year. Okay, what else?
All right, how about Kevin O'Connell saying that – actually, hold on. Let me get to this Fox Sports thing. This is what people care
about. Well, real quickly, before we get to the Fox thing. So – Kevin O'Connell, does his contract runs out this year?
There was a rumor that I read. I don't know how much I would put into it, but there was a rumor that I had read that people were trying to trade for Kevin O'Connell, other teams looking to go after
him. What's the issue with Kwesi, the GM and the owner?
They just haven't extended him.
Why?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, he got a lot out of this, you know, Sam Darnold-led team. With all due respect to Sam, I know the 49ers liked him, but this is the first time we've ever seen Sam Darnold play the way that he has, and I think you put a large majority of that on the shoulders of Kevin O'Connell and what the offense, the simplicity of the offense, or the way that they molded Sam Darnold rather into what they were doing offensively. The fact that he doesn't have an extension right now is head-scratching.
So he only got, this is his third year, okay?
Yes.
He only got a three-year deal?
I believe
no,
so.
That's not possible. 4 years is the minimum.
4 years, but if you're entering that final year of the contract, okay, so, without extension, kind of a deal.
Kevin O'Connell, okay, in three seasons in Minnesota, is 34-17. He won the division in 2022. Last year, remember, they were on the verge of completely getting onto a roll when you know who tore his Achilles. I don't think that Kirk had played at a higher level in his career than he had played for the two or three games prior to the injury. And so that season fell apart. They went 7-10. And then this year, 14-3. Are you kidding me? You got Kevin O'Connell is an excellent offensive head coach, excellent play caller, and I think is very well liked and respected and organized, and that's surprising me. Although, let me just say that out of all of the assistants that came out of the Shanahan era here that ended up being a head coach, I've had many people tell me over the years that Kevin was the one that they least thought of going on to be a successful head coach. Like, everybody knew Kyle, everybody knew Sean, you know, people, you know, really were impressed with guys like Matt LaFleur, etc. But that's strange. What would they get for him in a trade?
Probably draft picks. You know, I looked up the list. This is not a new thing in the NFL, but it's not necessarily a normal thing either. There have been seven guys, head coaches, that have been traded. Bruce Arians was the most recent one in 2019. He was traded to the Buccaneers from the Arizona Cardinals. A couple other notable names, Herm Edwards in 2006, John Gruden in 2002.
Right, I remember
that. He won the Bucs a championship. I don't think that most
people... What about Belichick? The Jets got picks for him going to the Patriots.
I was about to say, I don't think that most people realize Belichick was traded.
Oh, yeah, that was a famous situation. He had basically committed to the Jets and then changed his mind.
Yeah, they traded him. Mike Holmgren was traded in 1999 to the Seahawks. Bill Parcells in 97, and then the very first coach, at least on the list I'm reading, Don Shula, was traded to the Dolphins in 1970.
Yeah, from the Colts.
Yeah, yes, that worked out pretty well.
Right. It was Klosterman, and I forget the interesting. Well, I don't know why you would trade him after 3 years of going 34-17 and being in the postseason twice. And the only year that they didn't go to the postseason, they lost their starting quarterback to a torn Achilles when he was playing at the highest level of his career.
Right.
So that makes no sense.
All right, how about the Fox thing? So this broke over the weekend. There is like this crazy lawsuit of, there's so much layers to this, but the big talking point is Joy Taylor and Skip Bayless and sexual misconduct in Fox Sports. This has been huge, massive news. This lawsuit that is the defendant in the lawsuit, or the accuser, I guess, rather, is the plaintiff, the hairdresser at Fox Sports, the one that's involved with making sure all the people on camera look good, hair looking good, haircuts, what have you. She's accusing Skip Bayless of trying to pay her $1.5 million to have sex.
And the hairdresser is.
The hairdresser is.
$1.5
million. $1.5
million. Okay. You got to slow down here for a moment. And I think we probably should take a break and then come back.
We can do that.
Because I think there are a lot of people listening that are like me that don't know the characters involved. I'm being serious, too. I mean, this is the Fox Sports Network. This isn't Fox Sports with, you know, the that televise the NFL games. This is the Fox Sports cable network, which basically generates zeros for ratings for the most part. So I think we got to start over and go slowly, because I had never heard of Joy Taylor before social media and kind of trying to follow the story from afar, because Skip Bayless was involved in it. We all know who Skip Bayless is. So we'll do a little bit of this, a very little bit, when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.